This is Piedmont Arts, and I'm Rachel Stewart.
I was inspired by composers' institutes that I attended. And every time I thought, man, this is great. We should have more of this. So I thought, why not bring it here?
This week, Charlotte is home to the first ever International Choral Composers Institute, a 5-day immersive program dedicated to nurturing and instructing choral composers and lyricists of all levels. And it's the brainchild of Sherry Blevins. We'll talk to Sherry about this ambitious event in more detail in just a moment. And be sure to stick around for Phil Vavra's segment, Fanfare, afterwards. He'll have several suggestions for fun and entertaining things you might want to do in our area in coming days. The inaugural International Choral Composers Institute is happening July 14th through 18th at the Levine Conference Center in Charlotte. And it's providing choral composers and lyricists with a unique opportunity to hone their skills and network. The Institute's organizer is Sherry Blevins, an award-winning choral composer and lyricist based in the Charlotte area. Recently, she visited the WDAV studios to talk about this labor of love, and I asked her what gave her the desire to put together such a multifaceted event.
There are so many moving parts, but it's so exciting. I was inspired by composers' institutes that I attended. So I attended a composers' institute called Choro, which was in Iowa. And I went to it twice because I loved it so much. I love learning. I wish I could be a student forever. After that, I thought, wow, that was amazing. And then that program went away. And then I started looking for others, and I found one called Opera Luca. And I did that 2 summers ago. Every time I thought, man, this is great. We should have more of this. And as far as I know, there's not one on the East Coast. I think there's one in New York City, but that's quite a ways from North Carolina. So I thought, why not bring it here, but also maybe bring in the element that was missing for me. And for me, the missing element was connecting to publishing houses, because most composers want to be published. And most composers do have access to education regarding how to compose, but most don't have the knowledge to get themselves published or to find a publishing house that's a good fit for them, or even to take the risk to take that step. Like, what does it require to get published? How do you get your music ready to present and submit to a publisher? And how does all that work? And so my thought behind this is, why don't we add that element and make it even more special? And then, too, to have a performance at the very end where we get to showcase works by our student composers and premiere those works. So it's kind of stealing a lot of ideas from really wonderful people, but also putting my own twist on it.
I was going to say, so it sounds like what you're doing is kind of unique.
I think so. I don't know that anyone else is bringing in the publisher aspect. So at the end of every single day, a publishing house comes in to speak to our students and to the instructors about what it is they're about, how to submit to them, what they're looking for, what makes them unique in the choral publishing space. And then there's a meet and greet where students can literally just talk to them and say, like, hi, you know, I'm not published yet, but I'd love to be. Can I send you my work? And obviously there's a formal process for that. But just making that contact for them, for the first time for many of them, is a really big deal. We want to provide them with that opportunity.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if that's one of the biggest obstacles for choral composers, or maybe composers of any kind, is to become published.
I think for many it is. And I think for most of our students it is. I'm really gobsmacked that all of these people that I've invited, publishing houses, instructors, they've all said yes. And they've all been excited about the idea of presenting in this venue and getting to know our students, who are incredible in their own right. They just maybe haven't had this opportunity yet.
Do you think it almost sounds like the publishers need a way to connect to people?
Yes. I laugh because I tell the students when they ask me, I say, this is like The Voice. The model for The Voice is the singers choose the judge they want to work with. And so in this instance, the publishing houses are presenting themselves as an option to these new composers and saying, like, here's what we're about, here's what we're about. And our hope is that the students will be educated about the differences, but also find someone who's a really good fit for them. Because each publishing house does have their own specialty. They also have their own way of doing things. And I think it's really wonderful to know that before you sign a contract, for example, to be published with that particular publishing house. So yeah, we're very excited to present that opportunity.
Can you talk a little bit about your journey as a composer and, you know, just going through all these steps of becoming published? You have been published. You've got a work that's being performed this summer, right? In Carnegie Hall?
Just in New York? Like a week and a half. Yeah. yeah, it's, you know, I have many, many pinch me moments where I'm thinking, is this my life? I can't believe it because let's start back. My degrees are all in music education. So for 17 years, I taught in Charlotte Mecklenburg schools. And I taught K through 12 music. I've done a church music gig for, you know, 20 years. I conducted a church choir. I was associate conductor with the Charlotte Children's Choir for a very long time. And then in the latter part of my educational stint, I moved to Appalachian State University, which is also my alma mater. And I supervised student teachers for the School of Music. And while I was doing that, I got asked to conduct a gig for Durham All County. And they asked me to select repertoire for the event. And so I said, why don't I write this for you and I won't charge you anything extra? And she said, sure. But she didn't know that I didn't really know what I was doing, and I didn't admit it at the time. So just as a safeguard, I reached out to a mentor and former professor of mine named Mary Beth Yoder White. And Mary Beth is not only just a beautiful person, but she happened to have a series with Henshaw Music. And so I sent her a message and I said, will you just look at this music and make sure it's not embarrassing? And she emailed me back right away and said, I love it. Actually, I'd love to have it in my series with Henshaw Music. And I thought, you are so funny. I was like, really, is it terrible? And she said, no, I'm serious. So that was my first published piece with Henshaw Music. And I couldn't believe it at the time. And I still can't believe it some days. But I now have 40 published works. And most of them are with Henshaw. They've been very good to me. And I have my own series now with Henshaw Music. So that's how it started. And at the time, I honestly thought I'd be a one-hit wonder.
And here you are, like, putting together a choral institute.
And here I am.
Choral Composers Institute,
yes.
I should say.
Yeah. And it's a dream come true, really.
So tell us a little bit, sort of high level, what people can expect.
Right. So our daily schedule, I'm trying to make it as action-packed as possible. And so it depends on whether they're coming as a composer or a lyricist. We have two separate tracks. Our composing students each day will take lessons from an instructor. So they get a one-on-one session with a composing instructor who is well-published and well-known. And then when they're not in classes with their composing instructor, they're taking sessions on things like how to write great piano accompaniments, how to write for specific voicings. And then depending on the age that you're writing for, there are very specific guidelines about ranges and difficulty levels. So those are the kinds of things we're teaching. Tony Silvestri is going to do sessions on how to find great lyrics, how to work with a lyricist. I'm going to do things on how to self-promote, how to sell yourself. I think one of my sessions, I think this is going to be the title, would you like some fries with that? Because so often people will say, hey, do you want to come and conduct this gig? And I'll say, oh, I'd love to. But then my next question to them was, hey, do you want to premiere a new work for them? And so let's do a commission. And every time they've said yes. So part of being a successful composer is also just being willing to say, hey, I'm available. Would you like some new music? And then the money part hopefully comes later. So the composer's experience is going to be, yes, immersing them in all things that you need to know to be a successful composer. Then the lyricists are actually going to study with Tony Silvestri. Same thing, one-on-one lessons every day. In addition, how do you monetize this and how do you connect yourself to choral composers who need words? Because many choral composers do not write. And so allowing them all in the same space and to meet each other and to say like, hey, you need lyrics. Hey, you need a composer. The two of you would work great together. And so we're also creating opportunities for networking. So we have some social events scheduled as well. And then the culmination of everything is going to be two events on Friday. One is a choral reading session for those who want to hear their work, but they're not quite ready for a premiere. And then for the evening, we have our top students will be featured, including our scholarship winners. And that will be at 7 o'clock at the Parr Theater on Friday, July 18th. So we're very excited.
And my understanding is that is it Charlotte Chamber Choir that is the, what do you call it, the resident choir that will
be? Yes. We are so fortunate. Director Matt Wetmore is wonderful, and he is the conductor and director of that group. And we have over 20 singers that will be performing, and they're amazing. They are so incredible. But we're also opening it up to our singers who are also student composers to audition to be a part of that group.
Is this open to the public at all? I think I read something about there's a non-audition track.
Yes. So there are two tracks, and we think we're going to change the name for next year because it's a little, the non-auditioned track is called the observer track. Mm. And you do so much more than observe, though, if you come. And so I think some people have the impression that maybe if you're observing, you're not really fully immersed, but that is not true at all. I'm mentoring these folks one-on-one. We're having daily sessions where I find out what it is they need, where are their gaps in knowledge, how can I help them individually, as well as the opportunity to sit in on all of the lessons with the students who are doing the audition track. So it's going to be masterclass style where they can come in and just see how it works in case they want to come next year. We're going to do a panel discussion with all of the instructors, including Tony Silvestri, Jocelyn Hagen, Rafael Fusco, me, Brandon Boyd, Kate Jansen, who happens to be in my series with Henshaw. We're going to make a panel and have a panel discussion where you can ask us anything. The concert is, you know, that day we want them to come and fully participate, be in the audience, and be also support to the composers who are premiering new works. But we honestly have, I think, 12 more spots open. We still have lyric spots available. We have a few auditioned composer spots available, and we definitely have space available for people who just want to come and immerse themselves but not have to audition.
And if you're a member of the general public, you can come to the performance.
Absolutely. So our concert beginning at 7 is open to the general public, free of charge. So no ticket charge at all. But we're also doing a showcase for all of our student composers can set up tables in the lobby, and the public is welcome to come and peruse those works. So if you're a choral director, teacher, if you have a choir and just want to meet new composers who may be big in a few years, and also meet our instructors, you're welcome to come and peruse works, talk to those composers, and that will be from 6 to 7 o'clock on that Friday as well. And so it's just an opportunity for everybody to just say hi and see what we're all about.
It's pretty exciting sounding, and it sounds, for the first year out of the gate, it sounds like a pretty well-organized and big machine, honestly.
Thank you. Well, it's wonderful because back in the day when I taught for Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools, I was chairperson for our county's elementary all-county choir. And then our executive director is Ruth Peterson, the coordinator for a program called, well, it's not a program, it's E3 is what it's called. But it's basically all the performing arts events in Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools. And she is also my wife. So we are very fortunate that she said yes to working for us and with us because she brings a level of expertise in coordinating all these moving parts. Mm. I was up till 5 in the morning just planning and working out details because I am so thrilled at the response. One of our students is Ukrainian, and she is a refugee right now in Berlin, and her talent is incredible. She writes symphonic works. She's had works performed at Harvard. She should be published and well published, but she's not yet. Part of that is a language barrier. And so we want to break those barriers down. She'll be with us virtually, but we are so excited to premiere work by her. And then our instructors will also showcase themselves on our concert. And they are incredible performers as well as composers. We are so excited to welcome the community and beyond.
Well, that sounds great. It sounds like you're actually filling a need.
Yes, we hope that we are, and we hope to just grow and grow. And we hope that you, the audience, will come and hear these new works. It's a really exciting privilege to be in the audience when someone gives birth to their new work.
That's Sherry Blevins, founder of the International Choral Composers Institute, which is happening for the first time ever this week in Charlotte at the Levine Conference Center. The culminating concert is Friday, July 18th at 7 p.m. at Central Piedmont Community College's Parr Center Theater, and works by attendees of the Institute will be performed. For more information, you can visit internationalchoralcomposersinstitute.org. So, what is there to do in our region? Well, I bet Phil Vavra has some ideas.
Thank you, Rachel. There's a lot on the calendar over the next week, so without further ado, Blumenthal Arts is bringing Motown to the Queen City. The Broadway musical Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations will be at Belk Theater in Uptown Charlotte for 5 performances, including 2 matinees, July 18th through the 20th. Nominated for 12 Tony Awards and winner of the 2019 Tony Award for Best Choreography, the electrifying production follows the Temptations' extraordinary journey from the streets of Detroit all the way to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, with hit songs such as My Girl, Just My Imagination, Get Ready, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, and Ain't Too Proud to Beg. And Appalachian summer continues with more intriguing performances at Appalachian State University's Schaefer Center for the Performing Arts in Boone. On Saturday, July 19th at 7:30 p.m., you can see the celebrated contemporary dance company Alonzo King Lines Ballet in a soul-stirring program called Deep River. Then on Wednesday, July 23rd at 7:30 p.m., the captivating piano ensemble The Five Browns will take the stage with their program Edge of the World, featuring works from Bach to the Beatles. Double your musical pleasure with Duet Again on Saturday, July 19th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Davidson College's Duke Family Performance Hall. The afternoon recital will feature Margot Gilmore at the piano and violist Sally Witushinsky performing works by Brooke, Schubert, Vaughan Williams, Chopin, and more. Admission is free. As a composer, Johann Sebastian Bach could do just about anything, and did. One of the many areas in which he excelled was writing music for the pipe organ. The Charlotte chapter of the American Guild of Organists presents award-winning organist Matthew W. Noonan performing some of Bach's organ masterworks on Sunday, July 20th from 4 to 5:15 p.m. at Selwyn Avenue Presbyterian Church in Charlotte. Admission and parking are free. And kids of all ages are swinging over to Imaginon in Uptown Charlotte for Curious George, Let's Get Curious. This interactive exhibit takes you inside the wonderful world of H.A. and Margaret Ray's classic stories about Curious George and the Man with the Yellow Hat. Admission is free, and the exhibit is open during Imaginon's regular hours through August 23rd. Told you there was a lot going on. There's even more on my complete fanfare column, which you can read every week at WDAV.org. Thanks for listening. Rachel.
Thanks, Phil. As always, plenty of great suggestions there. Well, that does it for this episode of Piedmont Arts. You can listen to past episodes at wdav.org/podcast or at Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe and never miss an episode. For Piedmont Arts, I'm Rachel Stewart.